Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Good evening, saints, and welcome to Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. This is the most important service of the week. It is our prayer service, and let us open up with a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace, seeking your love, seeking your tender mercies, seeking your goodness, seeking your benevolent hand. For we have no other that we can turn to in this hour of great need. We turn to you, Lord. We turn to you. We turn to you. For time and time again in Scripture, you tell us, turn to me, and I will deliver thee. And so, Lord, we turn to you. For our problems are just too complex. Challenges way above our means. The things that confront us are giants. And only you, Lord, can give us the victory over these giants that vex us, that taunt us, that rob us of our sleep. Some of our giants are sickness. Some of our giants are disease. Some of our giants are physical in nature. Others are financial. Others are spiritual. Whatever they may be, Lord, whatever they may be, whatever it is that is coming against your people on a collective and on an individual basis, Lord, we invoke your name. We call you. We call upon you and you alone that you might deliver us in this hour of great trial and tribulation. We call upon you and we patiently wait upon you to answer our prayers. Bless us, Lord. Bless us during this time in which we're going to fellowship with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, Lord, and amen, and amen. Once again, I want to welcome you to our prayer service, your prayer service, the Lord's prayer service. It's a time when we can come together and seek the face of our God. It is the sweet, sweet, sweet hour of prayer. And our theme for tonight is pray, pray, pray. Call out to God and wait on the Lord to answer. Pray and wait on the Lord to do what? To answer. Oh, he'll answer. You just have to wait. You have to wait on him. Don't rush. Don't try to get your own answer. Don't try to run ahead of God. Just wait. Do like Job did. While Job was undergoing his trial, he just waited on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And you'll see that it'll pay off if you can just wait on the Lord. Trying to get things done in your own strength is only going to make things worse. You're only going to make matters worse if you try to go ahead of God. Just wait on the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. This, of course, is a psalm of David. This psalm of David, I want to read verse 1 first. It's only a 14-verse psalm. Has only 14 verses. But look what David says in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my what? And my salvation. Listen to David's great anthem. This song is his anthem. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wow, what a tremendous introduction. And that's what you and I have to confess tonight. Listen, the Lord is your light. He's my light. The Lord is your salvation. He's my salvation. If the Lord is your light and my light, if the Lord is your salvation and my salvation, whom shall you fear and whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of your life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Thus, who shall you be afraid of, and who shall I be afraid of? And the answer is nobody. We shall fear no one. No one shall we fear. And then verse 14 reads like this. Psalm 27, verse 14, which is our text for tonight. It says, wait on the Lord. You see what David says? He says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, wait, I say, on the Lord. So, we're going to talk about this text. We're going to give you a little exposition on it. But before I do, before I start the exposition, I just want to play this song, Be Still My Soul. Be Still My Soul. You know, when our world around us is falling apart, when everything around us is caving in, when the enemy is at the gate and you can just see the enemy, he's so close. He's so near you. He can almost reach out and touch you. He can't, but you can almost sense that he can almost get his grasp on you. Don't go frantic. Don't lose your mind. Don't lose your perspective. Be still. Allow your soul to be still. And just wait on God. Let's listen to this hymn. And as we're listening to it, let us sing it. Let us pray it. Let us lift it up, not just only as a hymn to God, but let's lift it up as a prayer. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Isn't that what the psalmist said in chapter 27, verse 1? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So like I said, even if you can see the enemy at the gate, even if you can sense he is ready to pounce on you, be still. For the Lord is on your side. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. And watch him perform a miracle on your behalf. Let's listen to the hymn. And let's sing it as a prayer to God.
Thank you.
You know, right now I'm led to pray for you. I'm led to pray for you so that you don't run ahead of God. I'm led to pray for you because in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tribulation, you are bound to panic. You are bound to run ahead of God. And I want to pray right now that the Lord will settle your soul. That the Lord would allow you to get a good night's sleep. That not only would you rest in the Lord spiritually, but also that you would rest in the Lord physically. That you would do like Peter did when he was arrested in Acts chapter 12. You know, in Acts chapter 12, Herod had James, the brother of John, arrested and had James executed. Soon after that, Peter was arrested. And Peter knew what awaited him. Peter's faith, if Herod had had his way, was to also have Peter beheaded the following day. That was the fate that Herod Agrippa I had in store for Peter. He had already done it to James, the brother of John. The Bible says that that day, that night, Peter fell asleep in a jail, shackled to guards, knowing that tomorrow was going to be his last day on earth. You know what Peter did? He rested in the Lord. He went to sleep. And the church was praying while Peter was sleeping. Peter knew that he could rest in the Lord. He knew he could rest in the Lord because he knew Jesus. He had seen Jesus perform many miracles, like calm the storm. Remember when Jesus said to the storm, when the disciples were in the ship and the disciples were carrying on and crying out and said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And they saw Jesus rebuke two storms on two different occasions. So Peter knew what his master could do when storms arise. And that's why Peter could go to sleep. He can go to sleep and wait on the Lord. Peter didn't try to break out. Peter didn't try to dig a tunnel out of the prison. He wouldn't have had enough time anyway. Peter didn't recant. He didn't deny Jesus. You know what he did? He went to sleep. Because those of us who know the Lord can get a good night's sleep. Because we know that those who wait on him, he saves them. So let me pray for you right now, because I sense that you're just about ready to do something that later on you're going to regret. So let me pray. Father God, I come to you on behalf of your children. I stand in the gap on behalf of those for whom Jesus died and shed his blood. I intercede on behalf of my brothers and sisters who right now are going through a hellacious trial. They find themselves in the midst of a storm. To you, Lord, on their behalf. And I don't tell you to calm the storm. I ask you to calm my brothers and sisters. I don't pray, Lord, that you would arrest the storm. I pray that you would arrest my brothers and sisters. That they would hold their peace and let the Lord fight their battles. That they would learn to wait on the Lord and trust in his impeccable timing. For the Lord never shows up too late. And he always shows up in the nick of time. Bless your people, O Lord. Give them tranquility of heart. Give them a good night's sleep. And as they sleep, rejuvenate their bodies and rejuvenate their spirits. And give them the peace of mind that the Lord is on his way to deal with their issues. Stop them in their tracks, Lord. Stop your people in their tracks. If they are about to do something that would only make things worse, teach them, O Lord, to wait on thee. This we ask, this we pray, in the precious, precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to play another hymn. And the hymn that I want to play for you right now is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's a classic. And many times when we're going through, we just need to be reminded of the classics. We need to go back and sing the classics and just lean on the Lord. Lean on God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own strength. Don't lean on some other people's prowess. We ought to always lean on the everlasting arm of the Lord. So let's sing this. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Look what the hymn says at this point. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all what? All alarms. No matter what news you've gotten, no matter what it is that has alarmed you, just learn to lean and lean, be safe and secure from all alarms as you lean on whose arm? The Lord's everlasting arms. Hear that? What have I to dread? What have I to fear? While I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Listen, be bold. Declare that. What have I to dread? What have you to dread? What have I to fear? What have you to fear? Nothing. We are leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord. So we have nothing to dread, nothing to fear. He's on our side, and if he's on our side, we are more than conquerors. We overcome. We overcome. So we have nothing to dread, nothing to fear, just leaning on his everlasting arms. Amen is right. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read something to you from the autobiography of George Mueller. George Mueller was one true man of God. And in the fifth chapter of his autobiography, which is called Learning to Live by Faith, and George Mueller was a man who really believed God and prayed, you know, he prayed for everything he needed for ministry. George Mueller never sent out a letter. He never begged anyone for money. He had a number of orphanages. He had three houses filled with children, hundreds of children at a time, ran a ministry, ran a Bible mission society. I mean, and this man took a pledge when God called him into the ministry. He says, okay, Lord, I'll go into the ministry, but on one condition. I can't beg. I'm no good. I'm no good in asking for money. And I pretty much, I subscribe to George Mueller's style of ministry. It's hard for me. It's so difficult for me to say we have a need. For me to pull those words out of my mouth, I can't do it. It's hard because we just want to serve the Lord. We want to serve him, and we want God to take care of payroll. We want God to take care of needs. So I want to read to you out of George Mueller's autobiography, Chapter 5, Learning to Live by Faith. I want to start at page 37, and look what Mr. Mueller writes. He says, my wife and I had the grace to take the Lord's commandment in Luke 12:33, literally. Sell all that you have and give alms. We have never regretted taking that step. God blessed us abundantly as he taught us to trust in him alone. When we were down to our last few shillings, now, of course, let me stop right there. Mr. Mueller lived in England, so he's talking about shillings, which is just he's down to cents, American cents. We told God about our needs and depended on him to provide. He never failed us. Now, remember, this was back in the 1800s. This was way back. There were no fax machine. There was no texting. There was, please. This was, 1800s. This man learned to depend completely on God. For every cent, he prayed every penny into the ministry. He goes on to say, on November 18th, 1830, our money was reduced to about 8 shillings. When I was praying with my wife in the morning, I was led to ask the Lord for money. 4 hours later, a sister said to me, "Do you want any money?" I replied, "I told the brethren when I gave up my salary that I would tell the Lord only about my wants," she said. "But he has told me to give you some money. About 2 weeks ago, I asked the Lord what I should do for him, and the Lord told me to give you some money. Last Saturday, the thought came again powerfully to my mind, and it has not left me since." George Mueller writes, "My heart rejoiced at seeing the Lord's faithfulness, but I thought it was better not to tell her about our circumstances, lest she would be influenced to give accordingly. If it was of the Lord, she would move to give. I turned the conversation to other subjects, but she gave me enough money to last all week. My wife and I were full of joy on account of the goodness of the Lord. He did not try our faith much at first, but allowed us to see his willingness to help us. Later on, he tested our faith more fully." Now, this is a man of faith in the 1800s. In fact, he had two pillars built outside the orphanages. Coming through the walkway through the orphanage, he had two pillars built, and each pillar had "The Lord will provide." That was what was on those two pillars. "The Lord will provide." And he had hundreds of children in those three houses. And he prayed every penny in, not only to take care of his personal needs, but to take care of the needs of the hundreds of children under his care. What great faith. And as he says in the beginning, as we started our walk with God, God didn't test us that much, but later on, as we grew in the Lord, he tested us in a far more stronger manner. And so there were many times when they needed bread to feed the children and butter and just the regular staples of life. And lunchtime was coming and they had nothing to serve these children. And you would find George Mueller in prayer. The face of God. And God never dropped the ball, as we proverbially say. God always came through. God always came through. And God, my brothers and sisters, always comes through. Now, you and I don't have the pressures of George Mueller. Perhaps you have a few mouths to feed. Let's say that you have at least 10 mouths to feed, but you don't have 100 mouths to feed every day. You don't have hundreds of mouths to feed every day. George Mueller did. And he was able to wait on the Lord. He prayed, and what did he do? He waited for the Lord to answer. And this autobiography records all of those instances when God came through for Mueller and those children. Now, we simply have to wait on the Lord. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We just have to wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Why? Because it's all his anyway. Don't you belong to the Lord? Don't I belong to the Lord? Are we not his children? Will he not come to our rescue? But you say, "Radio Shepherd, I don't have a grocery problem. I have a legal problem." So what's the difference? Whether it be food, or whether it be that you are in need of a vehicle to get to and from work, or whether it be college tuition, or whether it be a lawsuit, or whether it be some case, something, whatever it is, just pray and wait on the Lord. Let him work it out. Don't you go doing anything foolish. Just simply wait. You know, let's take George Mueller's cue. And there were many, many instances when there was no coal. Back in the day, in George Mueller's day, they heated up those homes with coal. And he would write, we have no more coal to heat up the houses. Now, what happens when you don't have coal to heat up a home? What happens to children? They get sick. And another thing, George Mueller decided that they would never go into debt. He would never borrow money. The man never went into debt. He paid cash for everything as the Lord provided. So he's a prime example of praying and waiting on the Lord to give you the answer. So we just need to wait. So I'm going to pray right now for your situation, whether it's you're sick, whether you're very, very ill, whether you're waiting for a healing, whether you have a wayward child. And when I mean wayward, I mean a child that everyone has given up on, child that is so far gone that the only way you can have this child restored is if the Lord steps in. Because no clinics, no rehab programs, no counseling, there's nothing out there that can save your child except the Lord. And you've been waiting for this child to turn it around. You've been waiting long, but now it's time to wait on the Lord. Now it's time to give the Lord the issue. See, whatever it is, we're going to pray right now, and we're going to ask the Lord to step in. Father God, we come to you right now. Again, Lord, this prayer meeting is devoted to your children and their desperate situations. Lord, many of us are pretty much like Lazarus. We've been dead and buried, and now, Lord, it seems like you arrived late. Because like Martha and Mary, we confess that if you had shown up sooner, we would not be dead and buried. But now, Lord, as you come to meet us at this prayer meeting, it seems like you should have been here at our particular situation 4, 5, 6, 7 days ago. Perhaps you should have met us a month ago. Because now there is no remedy for the situation that we find ourselves in. But Lord, knowing what you said to Mary and Martha, knowing that you said, but now you shall behold and see the glory of God. You shall see God in operation. You shall see the Lord calling those things that be not as though they were. Now you shall see the Lord call dead things back to life. Now, Lord, we pray. We give you our problems. You who specialize in the impossible, we give you our situations. We give you our problems. And Lord, work your miracle. Do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we can ask or even think. We hand it to you, Lord. We give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to play this hymn entitled, Here I Am, Lord. Because I think the issue is that not only must we give our problems to the Lord, but now we have to give ourselves to the Lord. See, because if we don't give ourselves to the Lord, we're still going to be haunted. Our problems are still going to haunt us. So it's time to say to the Lord, here I am. not only here is my problem, but here I am. Not only deal with my pending issue, not only deal with my cancer, not only deal with my sickness, with my terminal illness, not only deal with my bankruptcy, not only deal with the repossession of my home, not only deal with all of the imagining things, all the things I can imagine, not only deal with my wayward child, not only giving God those impossible situations, but now we need to say to the Lord, here am I, Lord, work on me too. Work on my faith, work on my patience. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. Let's sing this hymn, Here I Am, Lord. And hand yourself over to God. Let God do a makeover on you today. Sit in, like when you go to the barbershop or when you go to the hairdresser, just sit there and let the Lord work on you spiritually. Here I am, Lord.
I will hold your people in my home.
There is the Lord, saints. There's the Lord. Just give yourself to the Lord. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you, and he'll take care of your problem, which are two different issues. Two different issues. You know, Ian Bound, in his book entitled The Possibility of Prayers, Ian Bounds was a Civil War chaplain who used to get up every day at 4 a.m. to write his impressions about prayer. And all of his small books on prayer are just fantastic. This is a Civil War now. We're talking about a guy who lived in Abraham Lincoln's day. And he was a mighty man of prayer, Ian Bounds. And in his book, The Possibility of Prayer, or Prayer and Its Possibilities, he writes this. He quotes scripture. He says, God says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great things and difficult which you know it not. Ian Bounds goes on to say, how broad these words of the Lord, how great the promise, how cheering to faith. They really challenge the faith of the saint. Prayer always brings God to our relief, to bless and to aid, and brings marvelous revelations of his power. What impossibilities are there with God? Name them if you can. Nothing, the Lord says, is impossible for me. And all the possibilities in God are found in prayer. Is the truth. You want answers? You want things resolved? Just take it to God in prayer. And you know, there's a little short poem that reads like this. It encourages you and me. It says, thou art coming to a king. Obviously, the king that we're coming to is God. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Oh, I would love to read that again. It says, it reminds you and I that we are coming to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. See? You can never ask God for something that if it's good for you and right for you and beneficial to you, see, it has to be beneficial to you. And if it is, God will grant it. Your heavenly Father will do what? He will grant it. Now, let's go to Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14 reads like this. Wait on the Lord. The word wait is the Hebrew word kawa, Q-A-W-A-H, kawa. And it means simply that, to wait, to look for, to hope for. To wait, to look for, to hope for. The idea is this. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're looking for him to show up. That's the idea behind the text. When you're waiting on the Lord, what are you saying? You're saying, I'll look outside the window because I know he's on his way. Not only are you hoping that he's on his way, but you're looking to see if he's coming down the street. David says, wait, kawa. Wait, hope for, look for. He's on his way. Who's on his way? The Lord. Who's the Lord? your covenant God, Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh is our covenant God, the God who has placed himself under covenant obligations. See, that's why we can wait on him. That's why we can hope for him to show up. This is why we can look outside our spiritual windows to see if he is coming down the street, because since he's in covenant with us, since he has put himself under covenant obligations, and he uses the name, he doesn't use Elohim, which is the God of creation. He says, David, when you write this psalm, use the name Yahweh. I want my people to know that I will show up because I'm in covenant with them. I've made this, I've given this example before. I love AAA. And I've loved AAA for many, many years because as the kind of preacher that has, that I just don't have a knack to ask for money. I don't have a knack. So I've always had jalopies. I've always had cars that many times were not reliable, but thank God for AAA. And every time a car would break down in the highway, I'm on my way to do prison ministry or on my way to the youth detention center or on my way to preach at some church or I'm somewhere, and the car breaks down, I pull out my AAA card and I call them. And what do? They show up. Why? Because I have a covenant with AAA. I pay the annual fee. And they go right to the computer, and they know if you're locked in or not. They know if you're under contract, and if you have AAA Plus, which I always had AAA Plus, because again, when you have unreliable cars, you need a reliable pickup service. So I always paid extra for AAA Plus. And boy, when you break down in the middle of the road, call them. You just sit in your car and you look for them coming down the highway, and you see the tow truck coming, and you just know that you're going to be taken back to your destination. Because why? Because you're under covenant contract. So David says, if you run into any trouble, if you break down, if something just pops up and stops your progress, if something just shows up in life and is ready and it's rearing its ugly head, just wait on the Lord. The Lord is better than AAA. David says, wait on the Lord and what? And he says, and be of good courage. Don't let your heart be shaken. Why? Why be of good courage? Why? Because he shall strengthen your heart. Oh, it's always, I tell you, whenever I saw that AAA truck, I rejoiced. My heart was straightened. Why? Because that tow truck is going to get me out of my mess. Oh, that's a blessing. When you see that tow truck coming for you, and with AAA Plus, there's no fee, there's no charge. David says, be of good courage, for he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he goes on to say what? Wait. He says, wait a second time. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. In other words, if you didn't get it the first time, just wait. Just wait. He'll show up. Twice he tells you in the text to wait on the Lord and don't do anything silly. Just wait on the Lord, he's going to show up. Just wait on the Lord, he's going to tow you. Just wait on the Lord, he's going to fix it. Just wait on the Lord, he'll get you out of your jam. Just wait on the Lord, he is bound to show up and rescue you. Just wait on the Lord, he'll make sure you make it home. Just wait. 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 And the beautiful thing about waiting on the Lord is that we don't have to renew our contract. It's a once and for all contract. Remember, saints, Jesus paid for it all. It's not like AAA where you need to renew your contract every year. No. Jesus paid for it once and for all. He paid for what? For this policy that you have, for this covenant that you have. He sealed it with his blood. And when you're under contract with Jesus, you have the premium package. He'll rescue you out of every and all situations. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on your covenant God. Wait, David says. I like the way he says it in the latter part of verse 14. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. So you don't have to look for a AAA truck. You just have to, you're looking to see Jesus showing up. And boy, does he ever show up. I have my George Mueller episodes when I can tell you the Lord has really shown up so many times. So many. You know, at the turn of this year, I found myself, I can only tell you that I found myself in a huge jam. And, you know, the Lord told me to launch these four broadcasts. We're doing Daily Manna from Heaven. We're doing the Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. We're doing the Wolf Tracker. And then we're doing the Bible Institute. And the Lord said, start them. Get them going. And like George Mueller, I've had to pray in every cent. And I told the Lord, I'm not, you know me, Lord. You know me. And so many things were falling behind. So many things. And so many things were about to be disconnected. So many things were just, we were about to go off the air. We were about to go off everything. And one check came in that canceled every single debt. One check. I said, Lord, I would put the bills in front of the Lord. And I'm telling you, we had just started and we were about to go under. And one check sent by the Lord. God touched one person. And the money that came in was to the exact penny. Not less, not more. The Lord didn't even give us a cushion to the exact penny. To the exact penny. And like Lazarus, we were behind. Like Lazarus, we were already in the grave. Already everything was past due. But I stayed on my knees. I remained resolute. I waited on the Lord. Because I heard him when he told me to do what I'm doing. I heard the Lord. Didn't pay any mind to the commotion, to the naysayers, to the murmur. I just stayed resolute. I waited on the Lord, and he showed up. Now, if he showed up for me, he'll show up for you. Because, like me, you too are a covenant child of God. And like me, he loves you with an everlasting love. And like me, you're precious in his sight. So just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. I'm telling you from experience. Just wait on the Lord. Now, as we close, I just want to let you know that I have started a series on the doctrine of hell. And that series is currently being recorded on our other broadcast, which is Daily Manna from Heaven. Daily Manna from Heaven is the other broadcast. So I want you to tune in to Daily Manna from Heaven and get the broadcast where I'm talking about who will not go to heaven, because we are promoting now evangelism, soul winning, on the other broadcast. So tune into that. Get on fire for Jesus. Start winning some souls. Start testifying wherever you are. Let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Get busy for the Lord. When you get busy for the Lord, you don't really think about your issues and your problems. You don't really think about what's vexing you while you stay busy for the Lord. And while you're staying busy for the Lord is working out and handling your mess. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go do the Lord's business. And when you come back, he would have handled your business. That's a wonderful prescription. Just wait on the Lord. Just do his work. And you'll see that as you serve the Savior will resolve your issues. I want to close the broadcast by playing this song. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. This is Radio Shepherd reminding you, don't forget about tomorrow's Word of Exhortation, Wednesday's Word of Exhortation. Tune back in tomorrow. I'm praying for you. I'm believing that God will show up shortly on your behalf. Just wait on the Lord. God bless you.